Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hey guys, welcome to another edition of the Talking Metal Podcast. We are very honored because on today's show we have Brandon Geist, the editor-in-chief, the new editor-in-chief of Revolver Magazine. He is on the show along with Josh Bernstein, who is the creative director at Revolver. We've been a fan of these guys for years and years over at Revolver. Just the magazine in general, that is. And it was great 3 or 4 years ago when they actually featured us in a story on metal podcasts. And now we are very excited to have two of the top dogs at Revolver on the show with us today. So they have some great stories. They have some great pictures in the new issue of Revolver, the hottest chicks in metal. Pick it up now. This is not just new chicks in metal. This is the hottest chicks in metal of all time. And a lot of great shots and interviews and history on some of the, again, hottest looking ladies in metal of all time. Also featured in the magazine, a cool article on Brutal Legend, which is the new heavy metal video game. We have some news on High on Fire, their new record. I was just reading about that, and it sounds like they're pulling in some more old-school thrash metal influences on this album, so that should be cool. And as always, the reviews, the Revolver reviews, which I really pay a lot of attention to these reviews. I know a lot of people say you shouldn't read reviews, but Revolver usually steers me in the right direction as far as reviews and as far as, what's a good album, what I should be checking out. There is also a Revolver calendar on the way. So this is for 2010. I believe it's actually out. We will link it through the show notes. I encourage you guys to buy it. But before you buy it, we might be able to hook you up with a free copy of the 2010 Hottest Chicks in Metal calendar. We will have free copies, available for you, and we're going to be doing this in our news section on talkingmetal.com over the next week or two. So go to the news section when you see the announcement, not before the announcement is posted, because we won't accept the email if it's ahead of the announcement in the news section. But when you see the announcement, we will take the first few people who email us, and we will mail you out a 2010 Revolver calendar, which features, again, the hottest chicks in metal. So cool stuff, and big thanks to the guys at Revolver for hooking us up with this calendar, actually, of the hottest chicks in metal, the 2010 calendar. So we're going to get into the interview with Josh and Brandon in just a second, but please stay in touch with us on Twitter, twitter.com/talkingmetal. I'm on there as twitter.com/Strigl, STRIGL. John has his site, astronomy.net. You got the Facebook stuff and the MySpace and all that. So definitely keep in touch with Talking Metal online, whatever your preference is, Twitter, MySpace, whatever, we're there. I suggest the main site, talkingmetal.com. And again, we are updating that news section all the time, so please check in. And you might end up with a free Revolver 2010 calendar if you do that. A couple people were lucky enough to end up with a free guitar courtesy of Gibson and Zach Wild. So congratulations to all the winners of the Gibson stuff and the Zach stuff. Cool. So let's get into the interview right now with Josh and Brandon from Revolver Magazine. Check it out on Talking Metal. Hey, you are listening to Talking Metal. That was Tony Martin, once the voice of Black Sabbath, with Scream. How you doing, John?
I'm doing great, Mark. We are proud to have from Revolver Magazine, Josh and Brandon. What's up, guys?
What's going on?
What's up, dudes?
You know what's interesting, Brandon? Like, I totally recognize you from the magazine. you've had your picture in there numerous times. Josh, we've met before, but I don't think I've ever met you in person, and yet I totally recognize
you. That's awesome.
You.
Yeah, I was recently recognized at a Gojira show. It occasionally happens, and the guy was like, "Hey, Revolver, right? I totally recognize you. I look at your face every day when I take a dump."
You could have left, you know, you should have said, "Guys, I appreciate it," but you could have left that part
exactly.
out.
Exactly. I was like, you know? Oh, it started so well.
You just killed it.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, you guys have stopped by with a bunch of gifts in hand, and one of my favorite things, by the way, just to kiss your ass a little bit, I've been a reader of the magazine for many years now, and it's always great when it arrives in my mailbox, and keeps me informed. I study the review section, by the way.
Wow.
One thing... just to go off on a tangent here, one thing that I always look forward to are the year-end lists. And I will go, and I swear to God, any record that I don't have, which is usually about 50% of them, mm-hmm. I will go download and check out. And I'm usually very thankful for that. You guys do a great year-end list.
The new one's about next issue?
Yeah,
2009, I was going to ask you.
It's been a great year, so.
Yeah, I'm... Yeah, I'm not going to give anything away.
Okay,
it's
cool.
Coming out soon.
Cool. Well, we're looking forward to that. And one thing we always look forward to, which you guys do a great job on, is bringing us the hottest chicks in metal. It's one of my
Without
favorite parts of the Revolver magazine. And this month, we have issue, the hottest chicks of metal of all time.
Yes.
Who can we expect?
Starting from the get-go, we have, classics like Joan Jett, Lita Ford, Wendy O. Williams, Doro Pesch. And then moving into the 90s, Sean from White Zombie,
Karen from Crisis,
Nadia from Cold Chamber.
Yeah, one of my favorite bands of that era when I was in high school, Drain STH. I remember just crushing so hard on those girls, like that whole band.
I
was like,
yeah. Well, I mean, I'm a little older, but the original bunch that you mentioned there for me, I probably liked Lita Ford's music better than the other ones, but Wendy Williams as a 13-year-old, her body just.
It was unbelievable.
It was really insane, the body.
Was very strategically placed, and she was amazing, guys. And for all you listeners, and I know that you guys know this, the Wow album that she did that featured Gene Simmons, Ace Frehley, Paul Stanley, Mitch Weissman, some great musicians, was, I think, a classic record. And people probably don't even know this. Thief in the Night, which became a Kiss song, was originally done on that record.
Oh, yeah. She's a legend. I mean, again, like as a 13-year-old, I mean, boobs and a chainsaw.
Right, right.
Yeah. You can't.
I can't imagine what's going to appeal to you more as a kid. Like, you want to probably have sex with her and then break a bunch of shit.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Then you're going to saw your TV in half after that.
Well, what was amazing when we were putting together this issue was I don't think I'd ever even known that she was like a graduate from Yale University. Which
I didn't know that.
It was like, what?
She was also a stripper in Show World. I don't know if you guys remember Show World on the corner of 42nd and
it's now a comedy club.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. There That's was quite a few
more Billy Stopless, topless.
Oh, that was one of our favorites.
Yes. Great bagel place.
One
now.
Of many.
Yes.
Throw the endorsement out to them.
Yes. So how did these women react when you come to them and you're like, listen, we want to do a photo shoot with you and we want you to be one of our hottest chicks in metal?
I think they're uniformly flattered. That's pretty much always the reaction we get. Like, there's a little bit of, really, me? Are you sure? You know, there's a little bit of, oh, that's so awesome. Like, you know, I'd love to do it. You know, I'm so flattered. And then there's some girls who, like, you know, this is like the fourth issue we've done so far. And there's a few like Christina and Marta from Bleeding Through who have been in every single issue. And I think it's getting a little old hat for them, but I think they're flattered nonetheless.
Guys, I'm taking a look at the calendar right now. And by the way, we are going to...
Where's your other hand?
That's why I've got the calendar.
He's
in front
playing
of me
with his
right
sundial.
We are going to give these away, guys, on Talking Metals. So stay tuned and check our news section because we're going to tell you how you can be the proud owner of one of these calendars. But I wanted to talk about a couple of the different people featured in the calendar.
But John Astronomy is June?
Yeah. maybe. You never know. Okay,
beautiful
guys.
Beautiful really,
is that a flag day?
Okay, I want to talk about one of the best friends of Talking Metal, Maria Brink. She is Miss July and... Tell us about your experience with Maria and in this moment. What a great
band.
We've
kind of gone, by the way, from the magazine to an actual calendar that Revolver is putting out for 2010, which will feature a different metal singer or musician each month.
I would imagine, approximately 365 days.
Yes.
Yes. Give or take 12 months.
This is not a leap year.
Yeah. So Maria of In This Moment.
So yeah, I met Maria, I think we both did at the same party, and you guys might have been there too at
Snitch.
Yeah. Right. Yes.
Yeah, we were there.
And when they came here before the record, and they... it was kind of a record release party thing, and I hit it off with her immediately. She's a complete sweetheart, and started talking about her son and playing Little League and stuff, and started that. I saw them the next night at Trash out in Brooklyn.
Right.
And I think from there, they opened for someone at B.B. King's, and I went, I was with Jose and some other folks, and just... the drummer in the band,
Jeff
and I grew up near each other in Long Island.
Oh, cool.
And Louis started dating a friend of his from high school, and we ended up hanging out a lot and hanging with the whole band, jamming with them sometimes, and they were the nicest probably group of people you'll ever meet in your life. Everyone in that band is super sweet.
No doubt.
She's also like completely like super energetic. You know, am I going to be in the new issue? Because if I am, I'm going to take some personal photos this weekend and send a bunch of photos of her in
she's
a kiddie pool.
Into it.
And she is one of the, she's so behind this, and we're going to, of course, go down to their upcoming show at the Gramercy, I think,
yes.
in December.
Cool.
Right?
Yep.
Working with them has been nothing but a pleasure. And we had her on the cover Last year for Halloween, we did a whole Carrie tribute, and we
blood.
Drenched in blood, amazing.
Drenched in blood, and I think she broke out in a skin rash the next day. We apologize, Maria, but everyone, Chris, everyone in that band, Blake, all those guys are just the nicest people to work with, and she's stunningly beautiful and deserves to be in every issue. So
no doubt about it.
Cool. And moving on to. Let's see, who else do we have here that we could talk about? How about October, Grace Perry?
Oh, man. It's hard. I get tongue-tied just thinking about her.
She is...
She's amazing. I mean, Landmine Marathon's a pretty small band, and I think a lot of people, when they've gotten like the... She's also on the Hottest Chicks in Metal cover. A lot of people might be more familiar with Lizzie Hale from Hailstorm, and I've definitely gotten a lot of people asking me, like, you know, who's Grace Perry, why she's on the cover? And part of it is just that, like, we wanted to pair two girls who really represent the scope of what Revolver covers. You know, Hailstorm's more of like a alternative metal, like radio metal band. And like Landmine Marathon's about as underground as it gets. You know, they played like dive bars, you know, with like a bunch of like drunk dudes. And she just like throws herself in the audience and like just like, you know, throws down basically. The funny thing is about the cover is that the day after our photo shoot, she actually broke her nose at a concert.
Wow.
Because
oh my God.
She just goes nuts. She had like two black eyes afterwards. Yeah. So, you know, good thing we shot this when we did.
I saw the footage from the photo shoot and she seemed pretty hardcore even in the, sorry, just had a spill. Even in the photo session, she's like really animated and has always got that metal face going, and I thought it was amazing. Plus the fire. I mean, how did you guys do? Did you guys do that in your studio there? Where
we
I've been before.
We did that in I'll give a shout out to Travis Shin. He shoots, I'd say, about 10 or 12 of our covers a year. He lives in downtown LA, and we poured rubber cement on the microphone and on the guitars and lit them on fire. And one of our other editors was there, supposed to be watching this with a fire extinguisher, so literally talking to somebody else as those got lit up, and Grace's hand almost caught on fire, and she, you know, you see it on the video there, she's ow! And, you know, speaking to what he said, like, we were nervous that someone's in a more radio-friendly mainstream metal band, and this is an underground band, they're going to be like, grr, I don't like each other.
Right.
And these girls were like the Babysitter's Club, like, by the end of the
They were cool together. That's really
so
neat.
Cool together. And like you said before, like, we've had Marta Peterson and Maria Brink and Christina Scabbia for the last 4 years, so it was also great for us to kind of bring up some two new bands. And again, it comes from the place where we respect these bands so much, and like, you know, any more audience that can come to them, you know, and discover their music is only, you know, going to be icing on the cake.
No doubt. One quick thing. Hailstorm once opened up for Mark and I. And that's, I don't know if that's good or bad.
You
for
gotta
us,
cash that in now. I'd be like, wow.
I know.
Quite a while ago. But let's talk about the actual magazine, which I highly recommend all Talking Metal listeners subscribe to. You guys get to travel around with different rock stars and hard rockers and heavy metal artists. Can you share any stories, maybe some of the strangest places you've had to go to conduct interviews?
Well, I mean, this is probably maybe more on a more serious note than the question intended, but for me, this is the highlight of anything that I've ever done working at the magazine was when I went down to New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina to sort of write this big story about the impact that it had on the NOLA metal scene.
Right.
Because it just really felt like, you know, people would talk about like the impact on the jazz scene and the Zydeco scene, but, you know, New Orleans has like one of the great metal scenes in the world, and that story was just not being told. So it was actually like literally a couple weeks after the hurricane, and I went down there and like traveled around the city with the guys from I Hate God and from Soylent Green, and I met Phil Anselmo and interviewed him about it. And
you went to his house, right?
Yeah, I went to his house,
and
I also saw his like original house that, you know, where a lot of the Down records and stuff had been recorded, where he had his whole like record collection and his like t-shirt collection going back to like the 80s, and, you know, it had been like under like 15 feet of water. He lost his whole collection of everything, and it was like, it was amazing. And you know, just to see like the, you know, a hurricane after it happened, like never seen anything like
and
that.
And that was one of the first interviews, if not the first interview Phil gave since.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. Yeah, it was it was a year after Dime had been killed, and was his first interview. And so that for me was just mind blowing. I mean, Phil's a hero of mine since I was a kid, and just, it was the first time I met him, and to meet him under those circumstances, I mean, I was literally up all night the night before, just so nervous. And it was funny because like the only thing I wanted to listen to sort of psych myself up was Pantera. So I was just like cranking Pantera in my hotel room like all night, just like, you know, thinking about doing this first interview with Phil since Diamond had been killed. So,
Josh, how about you?
I don't know how many advice can be said on the air, but yeah.
No, you could say anything on Talking Metal.
I'm trying to decide if it's between two things. One is I got kidnapped by Rita Haney, Dimebag's widow, recently, and man, that was it went from being fun to being borderline scary and having to ask some other Black Label dudes to get me like, can I go home now? Am I allowed to leave? And then one time, my most proud moment was with Zach, and the first time I met him, he sent me in a rickshaw to go get him, which, as you know, in New York,
right. That's
in a
amazing.
Rickshaw to go get him alcohol. So I thought to buy him Black Label.
Right.
And when I brought it back, he was like, oh, I don't really actually drink this stuff. And I got progressively more and more drunk. I'm like, you can't believe you're such a pussy. You don't fucking drink this stuff. And this is at our offices, you know.
Right.
Lo and behold, I mean, you've been up there. Next thing you know, I don't know, it's about 3 a.m. and I woke up at my desk and there was vomit all over the floor. My head had a gash. And,
I'm not laughing at the gash.
No, it was literally like
muscles drawn on my arm. There was abs drawn all over my shirt. The whole thing. And like literally when I got home, I told my roommate, I'm like, you're not gonna believe what just happened. He goes, you don't remember us being there?
My
friend and his dad were like, yeah, we met your friend Zach. He's so nice. He let me try on his friend Randy's vest. I'm like, that's Randy Rhodes's vest.
Wow. Oh my God.
And like, it was my friend's dad. He doesn't know any of these people. He didn't appreciate any of it. But they told me like, yeah, you threw up, you hit your head, and then like no one knew what to do, and he put his hand in your mouth and took the vomit out.
Oh, wow.
Wow. So Zach Wilde saved your life, possibly.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. So whenever he comes to the office, he'll bring in like a bunch of, you know, Black Label dudes, and I'll be sitting there drinking like green tea and a tofu bagel, and he's like, this fucking guy's insane. And all these bikers are like, I guess.
That's classic.
Whenever I see him, he's one of those few people that when you meet a rock star, you think they'd actually be like that. You know, most of them are quiet and reserved, and he's like a walking like comic book superhero.
No, definitely. Yeah. What is the average age of the Revolver reader? Do you guys know that? Just curious.
26.
Yeah, I think we actually just got like a survey done. It was 26 because we always joke. We're like, everything we do, it's for the kids,
right.
And a kid's gonna, you know, probably doesn't even know what a magazine is.
Yeah, that was my next question.
The internet, yeah.
Is it hard to survive? You know, we've sadly seen the closing of some other metal magazines recently. And is it hard to survive in today's times being a print magazine?
Absolutely. I think that's why we've done so many, you know, we've kind of spread our brand around a lot more than, say, maybe, and like those other magazines we were fans of, you know, and we're friends with a lot of those people.
Sure.
And they were coworkers of ours. You know, last year we did the first Golden Gods Awards.
Yeah.
And we have a couple other events coming up, and just sponsoring a lot of tours and getting involved a lot of TV and doing other things. You know, we have this Headbangers Ball special coming up as well, as you guys know. Like,
cool, right.
You know, spreading around, you know, and just getting involved a lot more things than just straight print, you know, because there's so many different ways to have that Revolver name out there.
Yeah, definitely.
Here's the thing, though, guys. I love the print magazine, the whole concept of a magazine, and I do not want to see it go away.
I don't think it ever will. And that's the great thing about metal fans is, like, you know, metal is never in style. It's never out of style. And those fans are always going to listen to your podcast. They're always going to watch.
They're always going to buy vinyl, you know? They're
right.
always going to buy CDs.
They're collectors. They're people that appreciate printing. They will buy the deluxe edition of a CD, and they will buy the t-shirt, and like they do, they're more passionate than like pop fans who are like, you know, that's why a Blender magazine or a Vibe magazine folded.
Right. I'm just uncomfortable bringing my laptop into the bathroom
while I'm
taking a shit. I like to read a God honest magazine while I'm squeezing out a loaf.
This is that, if you, to go back to your other question, that is our average reader.
Yeah.
Okay,
there you go.
Now, luchador mask and an ability to take
low IQ, high fiber.
No, I mean, guys, I think that right now what's important is that you are multi-platform, and you guys for sure are. I mean, the website is great. You guys have a TV presence, for example, with the Golden God Awards, which is amazing, and then the magazine. But back to the award show, tell us about how that came about, and are we going to see more Golden Gods Award shows?
That came about, you know, we have a sister, we're part of a larger company, and in England we do Metal Hammer magazine, which has been around for many, many years, and they started doing this a couple years ago. And they were having a lot of success. They had, like, I think Jimmy Josta hosted 1 year and Odorous hosted a year. I started Revolver about 3-4 years ago. And from the moment we all started working together, it was one of the first thoughts, like, we have to do an award show. Everyone knows the joke about the Grammys and the, you know, they aired in the, right. Oh, this aired earlier in the morning and,
right.
And Jethro Tull won the, right. You know, right. That whole, exactly. That whole shit. So, something we fought for a longest time. Finally, we had a different change at the kind of the top of the company. It was like, you know what? Fucking do it. You know, and we met so many other people who were like, oh, well, we're doing an award show. Well, we're the award show people. I'm like,
right.
You know, there's Coke and Pepsi and there's RC.
Yeah, right.
Like you could, like, RC. You know, everyone cool. Can do it all. You know, there's the Grammys and there's the American Music Awards. And,
right.
We somehow pulled it off. I mean, when we got the approval to do it, then the economy went then to the toilet.
Right.
And we were scared every moment that it wouldn't happen. To the point where we were there on stage and I saw, like, you know, Maynard from Tool walk in and all the Slipknot guys walking in the mess. I'm like, holy shit, this is
for real.
Happening.
It's happening.
And Ozzy
right
and Sharon walked in. I'm like, this is real. You know, yeah.
Congratulations for going from the idea to putting it together to it's on the air.
Yeah, so, it was a great watch on TV. And I do you guys see the Metal Injection coverage from the red carpet? That was really
hilarious,
good, actually.
Yeah, there was a lot of great coverage.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, a lot of the thanks just goes out to the artists who, like us, were just hungry for something like this. You know, like, metal needs to be, like, respected and treated with the respect that, you know, other forms of music are. And this was, like, a great way to do that. And, you know, a lot of these artists were just, like, so eager to participate, so eager to be there, wouldn't miss it, you know.
What can I do? Like, I mean, exactly. We filmed these, the opening montage with at Brian Posehn's house, who was gracing us, you know, to let us in there. And we got Dio, Vinnie Paul, and Scott Ian all to come down for the full day, you know. And Vinnie Paul's like, I'd only come for 2 hours. And after, like, 5 hours, I'm like, do you have to go? He's like, yeah, no way, man. Come on, let's make a steak. You know, like, everyone was having such a good time. And, like, that's the thing about this. Like, you know, if Dio walks in, you know, Vinnie Paul and Scott Ian turned 14 in about 2 seconds.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
So everyone's like, you know, the whole time Brian Posehn kept me like, Dio's in my kitchen. Dio's in my fucking kitchen. Like, he couldn't get past it. You know, he was so happy. And
that's one of the most amazing things about metal nowadays, because just about everybody who's playing metal is a fan of metal, and we're fans first.
Right.
And that's an amazing thing.
And we took that perspective. Like, you brought up Metal Injection too. Like, we wanted to do this award show and made that clear to everybody that it was not Revolver's thing. It was like heavy metal. This is like heavy
metal's
party. Right. And we invited all, you know, quote unquote, competing magazines and competing websites and everybody down to it. You know, like, come on down, have fun with us, party. You know, you guys go to metal shows. It's always the same 25 people in the backstage and stuff, you know, like, let's all have a good time together. Like, this is, we all deserve this. Like, I kept on joking about it, like a heavy metal prom, you know, but that's, you know, kind of how it was. And I love to, you know, hope to have you guys down there next year.
Yeah,
we will definitely be there. And I just love the fact that, you know, you guys are behind what Talking Metal is about, which is bringing everybody who does something for metal together, because there's no reason to compete against each other. And I think that
there's not that many of us.
Right, You know, let's bond together and we'll be one big metal entity. And I think that's a great thing. And we all love metal. And like you said, you know, half of the people in the quote industry kind of move from one place to another, so we're all friends with each other. So.
Exactly, like you know, if the one thing I learned from doing the award show is like, wow, especially, you know, we're going out there and writing these skits and getting everybody. I was like, oh, you know, so like everybody knows everybody,
right?
You know, so I'm glad I've, you know, for the last 15 years of doing this, I've been very nice, you know, haven't burned that many bridges. But to answer your other question, we are definitely doing year two, and we learned so much. We actually, you know, we thought the TV broadcast could have been 8 times better, and we're going to aim to make that better, you know, go for even bigger bands, bigger presenters, and just capitalize on year one success, because it was
even
surprised us that we actually got all those names down there, like, until they actually showed up. I was like, oh my God.
Right. Well, I mean, when you get Sharon and Ozzy coming down, you know that you've done it.
Yeah. Well, we got them early on, which was nice, because most people were like, so what is this? I'm like, we have Ozzy. Like, I'll be there.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
He solves a lot of questions. You know, he solves a lot of issues. It's cool. We did a cover shoot about a year ago. Oh, when we did the election, we had a huge, went through the whole.
That was a great magazine. I read everything that everyone, you know, all of the different artists gave basically their opinion.
And they're
listeners
about diverse dudes,
right?
You know, like
absolutely,
Avenged guys, Republican. And like one thing was like, who's going to be there? Dave Grohl, cool,
right?
Wow. Dave Grohl just. I mean, the hardest of hardcore, whatever these, whatever, or, you know, goth or whatever, everyone's like, I want to meet Dave Grohl.
Right. That's cool.
You know, which the guy probably has the best life you could ever imagine.
Yeah, definitely. And a big fan of hard rock and heavy metal. Oh, you
absolutely.
Know I mean? With Crobot. The Crobot record. Yeah. And we interviewed Lamb of God, and they were talking about how he came up to them and said, listen, I'm a fan of your music. And he actually knew song titles and stuff like that.
So they were legit. Impressed.
He's got to respect. I mean, Chris Adler is like the sickest drummer.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Now,
Josh, did you go down to the Mastodon shoot? The photo shoot where John Wiederhorn interviewed the band?
Yes.
Yeah, I remember that. I think I had emailed you and you were down there. Tell us about that, because I
heard that was a great article that John did.
Oh, yeah. That was great. Myself and the photo editor of Revolver and Guitar World, Jimmy Hubbard. Jimmy's been a longtime friend of the band, and he shoots all the documentaries that come with their albums, Crack the Sky and their most recent, Crack the Sky and Blood Mountain. And I've had the pleasure of, over the years, of doing a lot of CD packaging and doing some cool stuff. We did some t-shirts and backdrops with them. So we got to go down for that shoot, and, you know, it was kind of their first time coming out after Brent's altercation,
correct,
shall I say.
Right.
I mean, if you guys know the guys, like hanging out with Brent in any capacity, if you go to the doctor's office with him or the DMV, it's going to be the best experience of your life.
So, right.
going down to Atlanta, like and partying with those guys in their home environment was out of this world. And
who had the pickup truck with, like,
Brent's.
That's Brent's.
Yeah,
okay.
Brent's.
And the cool part of the trip for me is we went to Braun's house, the drummer, and he has a whole room dedicated to, he collects velvet paintings, and he has
that's classic.
The creepiest painting you'll ever see in your fucking life. It's like the most gorgeous, realistic painting of JonBenet Ramsey on velvet, black velvet. And it's, I don't know. Something about that was the most disturbing part of the entire trip for me. But, again, another band that are like four of the nicest guys on the planet. And,
right.
That was, I mean, for any which reason, I don't know why that was the first Mastodon cover ever. That was probably long overdue.
Yeah. It was weird with Mastodon. When we interviewed them, I, for whatever reason, was slightly nervous because they had such like hipster credibility. I was like, yeah, these guys, they might be jerks. And it was quite the opposite.
Yeah,
they were possibly one of the nicest bands we had interviewed in months, you know, and down to earth. And I find it funny how a lot of times these most successful groups are the ones that are actually the nicest and, you know, have manners and stuff like that.
Yeah, so those guys are great. I've actually kind of a friend of those guys, been a follower of theirs since they were playing like the tiniest shithole clubs in New York. And I actually asked them if I could propose to my wife, like while they were on stage opening for Slayer.
Right.
Wow. And they were like totally cool with that. And like, yeah, you know, Troy like announced it from stage. And he was like, you know, we have friends in the audience, Brandon and Maya, and they want to get married. You know, Brandon, you know, you want to propose to your wife. And of course, like I had been really nervous about, you know, what Maya's reaction, my wife, you know, my now wife would, her reaction would be when she heard this from stage. She was like so like confused,
right.
Like her reaction, like I thought maybe she'd cry or something. She was just like, did they just say Brandon and Maya? Like, do some people have our names? And I'm like down on my knee, like, he's like, what are you doing?
Yeah, were
like,
you in the audience when you went down on your knee and did the proposal?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
That is amazing.
Yeah,
was that at Meadowlands? You couldn't score Slayer?
It was at Roseland.
Roseland.
Wow. I mean, the best part was that we had just gotten back from like a really romantic trip to Mexico, and it never crossed my mind to propose to her there. I had to wait for the Mastodon Slayer
Wait till you get to Roseland.
Yeah, exactly.
Very nice. Oh,
stupid.
They sell hot dogs.
Yeah.
Well, guys, where is the best place that the listeners can pick up the Revolver calendar for 2013?
I would just go to revolvermag.com.
/store.
Yeah. And okay, check out the website anyways. Tons of great stuff up in there. And you can get this, the calendar. And the cool thing about the calendar, too, it's not just hot ladies. It's there. Every day has a metal fun fact and tons of history, famous moments in metal history, a lot of 20th anniversaries and birthdays. So.
We will be giving some away on the podcast here. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh my God,
both John and I have been fans of the magazine for a long time.
Likewise.
And you guys helped us out way back when.
Yes.
I think like our first year, you guys did a little article on it, us, which definitely brought us some listeners.
Without a doubt.
So thank you.
And the phrase "Metal's reigning podcast champs" came from Revolver.
Yeah,
and
Brandon,
I think that might have been you who wrote that.
Me.
Yes.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So thank you very, very much. That is our catchphrase. It will stick with us forever, and we thank you for that. And Josh, you are amazing. We met through our mutual friend Gene Bolin, and all of us are going to be forever friends and hanging out.
Absolutely.
And, you know, metal forever, guys.
We'll be eating at diners.
Hell yeah.
For next
yes. Yeah. We ate at a diner on 23rd Street, and we want to invite Mark the next time.
Cool.
It's gone.
I'm there.
Oh, it's gone?
It's gone.
Well, I cannot
there.
Believe it.
I know.
That's insane.
I know. We'll
That's the weird thing
diner.
About New York, guys. Like,
a lot of turnover.
Yeah. There's a big turnover. I was trying to think of the eloquent way to say that, and of course I cannot, but big turnover.
Cool. Next episode weird. Of Talking Metal, how to. We'll talk about our stories.
Yeah, we'll do that. When you guys come back for the podcast Absolutely. Version, we'll talk about all the places that we once hung out at. Like Billy's Topless, which then became Billy's Stopless, and now it's a bagel place, which you mentioned earlier.
Great bagels.
No doubt.
Perfect. This is Mustache. You are listening to Talking Metal. Thanks, guys. Check out Revolver Magazine.
Thank you.